In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is powered by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing since 1996. Your local coastal brewery, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time brought to you by Pelican Brewing, now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise your glass and drink on Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Let's go to the columnist, the Oregonian, our good buddy, Bill Orme, who once did this on our show. And we love him for it. Bill, good morning to you. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Bill Orme. Does Oregon have a third quarter problem, Bill?
They have a third quarter trend, Dan Lanning would say. It's interesting. I mean, the Ducks have only scored twice in the third quarter in their six Big Ten games, a couple of field goals. They got one against Michigan. And it's interesting because it hasn't been a problem in the sense that it hasn't come back to bite them. But it's one of those things where does the ultimate end, you know, negate the means or the process? And if you watched on Saturday, the Ducks were in control of that game for basically all 60 minutes. But Michigan had a window to get back in that game. And obviously they got down to the five or the 10, you know, got stopped on fourth down on that, you know, abysmal trick play. But they had a chance to cut it to a one score game with 9 minutes left. And if you get that close and it gets that nip and tuck, I mean, unable to finish, you know, in the red zone in the third quarter does become a problem. So it's something to monitor, if nothing else.
It's about the answer you expected from Lanning when you wrapped up the press conference asking about it again.
You know, I just enjoy taking an opportunity to get Dan on the record with certain things and to see if he will if he'll bite. But yes, that was about the answer, and I'm sure, I don't know if you played it for your listeners here this morning, but you know, he said it's not a problem. We won 38-17, and that is the sort of answer that a football coach should give, but I do not think is actually true. And maybe I'm only scoring an academic point here, but it is. I think the more true response is, it's not a problem until it's a problem.
Well, I think that's what my takeaway. I'm not shocked by his answer, but it is interesting. Like, it's not a problem, but it's something we'll evaluate. It's like, are you kind of saying it's a problem, but you're not saying it's a problem?
Right.
It's an interesting answer there.
It's more like, you know, Bill, I don't really believe in labels.
Yeah, exactly. Put a label on this thing. Come on. Keep this loosey-goosey. What did you make of had you ever been in the Big House before? What'd you make of it if you hadn't? And what was the atmosphere like?
Very cool, guys. Yeah. I'd never been, never been to Ann Arbor. It's so funny, man. Like, I covered the NBA for 10 years, and so I flew in and out of the Detroit airport every year for 10 years, you know, always in January or February. And for most of those years, I had to rent a car and pump it out to Auburn Hills, which is not a particularly scenic drive or a particularly scenic part of the Detroit metro area. And really just never had any particular fondness for those trips to Detroit in the dead of winter. And then all of a sudden you discover Ann Arbor, which is, you know, 25 miles from the Detroit airport in a different direction. You're like, this place is really cool. You know, very, obviously super vibrant college town, great atmosphere, both around town and then obviously in the stadium. It was loud. It was, it was just, you know, obviously an incredible tailgate scene. Those people line up at 7 a.m. to get in there. Tons of cornhole boards. I mean, I think one thing, you know, almost anywhere you go, there's never enough cornhole. And I thought Michigan actually met the moment in terms of that particular standard. So just very cool, you know, to be there and to see, you know, 110,000 people there, you know, watching a football game. Largest stadium in the country. And it's interesting when you're in it because it sits so low in the ground. You walk up to it. It doesn't look that big from the outside. It's not like I've been to LSU or I think Camp Randall has a little bit of this too. I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks. But it just isn't as imposing from the outside because it goes so low. But you get in, and I think that kind of also contributes to some of the some of the sound there too. So just a really, really neat spot. But I will say, you know, Oregon took a lot of the emotion out of it early with that first drive, and then especially, you know, when, yeah, I mean, my goodness, I mean, that catch that Evan Stewart made in the back of the end zone that was ultimately negated, you know, that place was just stunned with that play. I mean, that was as good of a catch as I've ever seen. Probably, certainly the best catch I've ever seen live, but as good of a catch as I've ever seen anywhere.
How big a deal is the Tez Johnson injury to you, or is this conference in general we're learning with Oregon and how good they are bad enough where Oregon can get by without Tez Johnson for a while?
I think yes to both. I think it's, you know, I think Oregon is going to be fine. They have the depth to get through at receiver to get through the rest of the regular season schedule. You know, the next three opponents really should not give the Ducks a huge amount of trouble, looking at Maryland, Wisconsin, and then Washington going into the Big Ten championship game. But Tez Johnson is a, you know, a just massive part of what they do, both scheme-wise and culture-wise. And I, you know, I spent a little time getting to know Tez before his first year here because of his relationship with Bo Nix and his kind of incredible backstory, you know, which I wrote in the Oregonian at the time. And what you realize is, like, this is a dude who grew up, you know, dreaming of going to Oregon from the time he was 5 years old, had an opportunity, you know, had doors open, you know, had a great couple of years at Troy. And now he's, you know, he's turned into their leading receiver. I think you would say that, you know, he's, you know, arguably the heart of their offense. He's certainly one of their most exciting offensive players. He may not be the NFL, you know, prototypical receiver that you have in like Trayshon Holden or Evan Stewart, but, you know, he's a guy who, you know, is certainly, you know, on the radar of the Biletnikoff Award. You know, he's having a great year, and it's, I think, just heartbreaking to see him go out. And, you know, you don't know with an injury like what he might have, you know, how long he'll be out. Is it possible he could be back by January for a playoff? It really is. That's certainly in play. But the idea that he, you know, is going to miss the rest of, potentially, because we don't know, but that he could miss these final three games, he could miss a Big Ten championship game, potentially more, is just really awful to watch. I mean, this is a guy who's really invested into what's happening at Oregon. You know, it genuinely means something to him to be there. And so that really hurt me to see him leave the game. And I hope that we get to see him in an Oregon uniform again.
Yeah, I agree with you completely there. We're talking with Bill Oram, columnist for the Oregonian, at Bill Oram on Twitter. We'll give him a follow. He's in Ann Arbor, obviously covering the game. And we love catching up with him. I want to get to your AP Top 25 poll, Bill. So I don't know if you know this, but there's a Reddit college football page that puts out the voting record of everybody who has an AP Top 25 vote. So two-parter for you. One, when did this start? Have you always had a vote? When did you get your vote? How long has that been going on? On that, when do you have to get your vote in? And then lastly, where is South Carolina and why are they not ranked?
Well, South Carolina hasn't been very good most of the year, okay. And they had a big win at home. I think the surprise that the students showed with the fact they actually won that game, rushing the field, tells you kind of what the expectations are in at South Carolina at this exact moment. But a very cool moment for Shane Beamer. It was cool to see his dad on the sideline. To answer the questions that actually have interesting answers, I would say, you know, so I got a poll this year, a vote in the poll this year for the first time. Had never done it. It's not a tiny amount of work. It's not a huge obligation, but I mean, you do need to really pay attention and have a feel for what's happening around the country, which has been new for me because I've always had the luxury of really being focused in on, you know, the teams I cover and the conference that they're in, you know, so that has meant, you know, basically my entire life, you know, as a sports fan viewer, columnist, you know, I've been locked in on the Pac-12 and those 12 schools and then sort of kind of the environment they're in. Now it's like, not only is Oregon in a totally new conference, you know, Oregon State, you know, obviously in their situation, but Big 12, ACC, my like daily diet, or excuse me, my weekend diet of college football has totally expanded. And, you know, it used to be that like I'd be watching, you know, I might be watching, you know, whatever the game of the week is, or, you know, the late game on a Friday night or something. And my wife would come out and she'd be like, "Do you have to watch this for work?" And I would always say, you know, "I don't have to, but, you know, it's kind of my job to just sort of know what's going on." Yeah. Now she comes out and says, "Do you have to be watching this, you know, this Tulane game for work?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, I
yes.
do." And I cannot budge from sitting in front of this TV right now. To answer your question, got to get it done Saturday night or early Sunday morning. And
do you like email it to somebody? Is there like a paper format? Like, how does the fill out go?
There's a secret online portal, you know, I'm going to take that back. I need to tell you guys the truth.
Yes.
You know, I mean, people always talk about like a website and a portal. That's not true. The reality is that these 102, 105 voters, we all convene. We wear masks.
Yes.
We carry torches into a cave.
Kinky.
And we sit around and we vote by yays and nays.
Boy, and struggled to get there.
I wonder where we're going on that one.
Is a goat sacrificed in this cave? Is there a sacrifice of a
Bill,
goat?
How do we get dirt into this cult? Because I saw your podcast co-host, Brenna Green, is the other local voter.
Yeah, what are we doing here? I thought we got to be writers. Can a radio
TV
host get
person.
A vote? Come
dirt,
on.
Dirt is on the pregame coverage out here on the Duck affiliate. How does Dirt sign up to be in the kinky cult that you guys are in?
Well, I would like to be very clear that this has been an Oregonian sports podcast takeover of the West Coast AP Top 25 vote.
Okay.
So, I mean, it seems like that is the secret, is to be a co-host of the Oregonian sports podcast. So, Dirt, if you want to join us, you know, that might get you on the right. That might get the attention of the right people back in New York.
I'll put a hood on and sacrifice a goat. I'll do what I need to do, Orin.
I think we put Crepia, Clark, and Dirt in a cage match. And
whoever
comes out alive
gets the AP vote.
Gets the next vote locally.
I think I'm on board with this.
Are we capturing the flag tonight, Bill? Are you going to watch Cooper Flag destroy Maine? Like, how are you going to follow college hoops a little bit here since the Blazers suck and they're trying to get a top pick?
The Blazers suck. The Blazers have won two games. They almost had a 26-point comeback against the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant the other night.
Oh, we're scared, aren't we?
I am in on the Blazers being fun bad over the course of this season, like watchably bad. I am invested in that being the case. In terms of watching the game for Flag tonight, absolutely, but not for Cooper Flag. I'm in on the twin brother Ace Flag. Because we know that the Blazers inevitably endure, you know, draft lottery and draft night heartbreak annually. It's part of the deal. So I want them, and when June comes around, I want them to draft Ace Flag from Maine, Cooper Flag's twin brother, so that the Blazers can hang their hat on, we draft the worst twin brother of legitimate NBA players.
By
like
the way,
we have
I didn't
Chris
even
Murray
know he had a brother to be.
Yeah,
I had no clue.
Yeah,
I didn't know any of this.
There's a knipple on Duke, Bill. There's a knipple on Bill. Keep an eye on that guy on Duke. Knipple on Duke. Watch
it. I spent at least 17 seconds workshopping this joke before coming on the show today.
That was pretty well done. I'm not going to lie. I'm impressed right now. Bill Orem, he's a columnist at The Oregonian. He's one of our favorites. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Bill Orem. Thanks as always for the time, Bill. I can't wait to join you in the cave with a hood on and get my top 25 vote in. And let's do this again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me, guys.